All right, open your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. Read a passage everyone's familiar with about Christmas. Boy, this is a wonderful time of year, ain't it? Amen. Amen. I'm glad Christmas means something to Christian people more than it does to the world. To the world, it's just a holiday where you can have a, you know, even lost people have a good time around Christmas. You can eat and exchange presents and fellowship with friends and family. But there's much more to it, ain't there? Amen. Much more to it. Amen. Amen. All right, Luke chapter number 2. If you got your places, let's begin reading in verse number 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone, into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us go now even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Now, that's basically the Christmas, the beginning of the Christmas story where Jesus was born. The Bible said he's born of a virgin. And I'm glad Christmas is about Jesus. And I'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. But I remember Christmas is a fun time of year, a special time of the year. I remember when my mom was living Christmas, she lived for Christmas. I mean, she didn't care. She had to scrape and scrounge all year just to get to Christmas. Amen. It's a special time of year. I mean, when I was a kid growing up, the reason I liked Christmas was you got out of school for 2 weeks. Amen. I didn't care. Man, if you didn't get no presents or nothing, no candy, no food, no nothing, if you just be out of school a couple of weeks, that was a blessing. To me, I always thought these kids that look forward to going back to school, something wrong with them. I never could understand that. And then people get out of school and go for another 8 or 10 years. But anyway, I understand it now. I didn't like it then, but I enjoyed being out of school. And I remember the last day of school, you know, we'd have a little party and we'd exchange gifts and draw names, you know, and we'd eat. And that was a fun day at school. Man, it was my favorite day at school because it was the last day. And you got presents. Didn't have to do no work and got to eat. It was a blessing. And then after that, you know, a week or so later at church, we'd have a big thing at church just like we're going to have. We'd have a Christmas play and we'd have food and snacks and all that stuff. And back in the old days, they'd give out them treat bags, you know. And man, they had so much stuff in them. It was unreal. That Snicker bar was a foot long just about. And two or three oranges and tangerines, all kind of stuff in there. I mean, it was a bunch of stuff. And everybody had presents and everything, you know, in church. And that was a blessing. Then our family would have a thing on Christmas Day, and we'd have presents again. And Lord have mercy, it was a good time. We'd eat turkey and dressing and potato salad and all that stuff and fellowship and eat some more and have some more presents. But I'll tell you what, it's more to Christmas than eating and getting presents. Amen. I like all those things. I'm not up here preaching against them. I like it, and I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait to see what Debbie got me for Christmas. I'm just excited. I don't know where she's going to park it or how she's going to haul it, but anyway, I'm looking forward to it. But I want to preach this morning about the Christmas season a little bit. Hope it'll help you and be a blessing to you. And what I want to do is take a phrase out of a song and use it and change it a little bit and use it for sermon title. I want to preach on this morning
I'm dreaming of a right Christmas. Amen? I'm dreaming of a right Christmas. I thank God I'm glad that I know what Christmas is. I remember, I was telling you a minute ago about growing up, and I remember I always played a shepherd or a wise man in church. That meant putting on a bathrobe, getting a stick, and putting a towel on your head, and walk up the aisle. That's basically about it. Had a speaking part, but I really never understood all of that until I got saved. I got grown, and I got saved, and I really understood what the Christmas message was about Jesus Christ being born of a virgin, came to this sinful world, and that's the good news and the glad tidings. It's not, Jesus didn't come here so we'd have to have a big party, and so we'd have a lot of fun every year. And we do have a lot of fun every year, and we do have a celebration, but that's not what He came for. He came here in this world to bleed and die for sinners. I want to say I'm dreaming of a right Christmas this morning. Number one, it means the right man. The right man. I'm glad I'm celebrating Jesus Christ at Christmas time. Listen, I get tired of hearing every year about this time of year. I get tired of the atheists and the Muslims and all those people whining and complaining, bunch of spoiled babies. Listen, I got two words for the atheists that won't like Merry Christmas. Shut up! Amen? If you don't like it, just shut up. I'm tired of hearing you complain. This is a Christian nation. It was founded by Christians and for Christians. And if you don't like it, you can pack up and go somewhere else and start your own company. By the way, atheists have their own holiday, and I don't spoil it for them. They have April 1st. That's April Fool's Day. They have their own day. So I don't care what they do. But leave us alone at Christmas time. And listen, as far as the Muslims go, brother, I could care less what Muslims think. Bless God, they can go back over yonder in the desert and wear a diaper on their head and sit in the dirt and pray to Allah. But this is America, and we're going to celebrate Christmas, and I ain't ashamed to say it. Merry Christmas wherever I go. No one person in history has had the impact on the human race as Jesus has. No king, no dictator, no emperor, scientist, educator, politician, diplomat, military leader, or any other prominent leader in the history of the world has ever contributed like Jesus Christ. At least 12 billion people have lived and died, but right now, 2,000 years later, He's the greatest man that's ever walked. And nobody can come close to equaling Jesus Christ. Did you know every great man that's ever lived, they compare Him to this one and compare Him to that one. But Jesus Christ stands alone. There's nobody to compare Him to. He is God in the flesh, thank God. I'm glad we have the right man when we celebrate a right Christmas. His birth was contrary to the laws of life. His death was contrary to the laws of death. He had no cornfields or fisheries, but He could spread a table for 5,000 and have bread and fish left over. Thank God for that. He walked on no beautiful carpets or velvet rugs. They didn't roll out the red carpet, but He walked on water. Amen? Man, the Bible tells us that 3 years He preached the gospel. He didn't write a book, didn't build a church, didn't have no money backing. He didn't get on TV and beg for money. And for 1,900 years, He's been the central character of human history. Did you know the calendar is even split? B.C. and A.D. because of that one man. And nobody has ever come or ever will come that will come close to equaling who Jesus Christ is. As a baby, He drove a king to desperation. As a young boy, He puzzled the greatest doctors in the land. As a man, He ruled the very forces of nature. He walked on water. He commanded demons and angels, and they did exactly what He told them to. He never wrote a book, yet libraries of books have been written about Him. I get preaching about Him, I get excited a little bit. There ain't nobody like Him. I like what the old black preacher said. He preached the whole sermon, said, ain't nobody like Him. Ain't nobody like Him. Nobody comes near being what Jesus is. He never wrote a line of poetry, yet the universe sings His praise. He never wrote a song, yet heaven and earth are filled with songs about Him. Did you know that those two songs we sung this morning were written by Fanny Crosby? She wrote over 10,000 hymns and poems, and every single one of them was about one man, and it wasn't Muhammad or Buddha or Confucius. It was the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, man and your Savior that we celebrate today. He never founded a college, yet He's had more students sit at His feet than all the educators combined. He never studied medicine, yet He's healed more broken hearts. than all the medical records could ever combine. Did you know he's never had anybody lay on the couch and try to be a psychiatrist or a psychologist, but he's healed more broken homes and broken hearts and broken men and broken lives than all the educators and all the doctors and all the philosophers and all the psychiatrists and psychologists and therapists combined. I'm just trying to tell you, thank God we have the right man when we celebrate a right Christmas. He never marched with an army, yet he's had more loyal followers who had marched in his orders at the end of the very pit of death than Napoleon and Alexander and all the great military leaders of all time. He was the only man who ever had the power to lay down his life and take it back up again. He's the only man who said, I'm going to die. 3 days later, I'll be right back. He's the only one that ever said it and did it. There's been lots of people said it's going to come back, but they ain't made it. I want to thank God this morning that we're celebrating the right Christmas because we have the right man. A king couldn't kill him, Satan couldn't seduce him, and the grave couldn't hold him. Amen. I like what that old black preacher said. That's my king. You remember that? Glory to God. You can't say enough about him. I've heard him preached about all my life. I've heard him sung about. Listen, there's libraries of books about him. I've got a pretty good library, but it don't even begin to scratch the surface. He's an inexhaustible subject. There's no way you can tell it all. There's no way you can begin. You can't begin to explain in human words or in a song or in poetry or in a book or a library of books. Who Jesus is this morning. His name is Jesus, Lord of heaven, Lord of all, born like a helpless babe, led like a criminal to slaughter. Nevertheless, He's God. He lives on the highest pinnacle of the heavenlies, proclaimed by God, acknowledged by angels, adored by saints, and feared by demons. He's the star of astronomy. He's the rock of geology. He's the lion and the lamb of the zoological kingdom. He's the harmonizer of all discords and the healer of all diseases. Great men have come and gone, yet Jesus lives on. Thank God many men will come and go and they'll leave their mark on society. But as time passes and time fades, their name fades as well. Oh, but I want to tell you today, Jesus Christ is the greatest name. He is the name above every name. At this name, men can fall on their knees and call that precious name and have their lives changed and transformed forever. Amen. By this name, many women sat at night in rocking chairs and whispered that name when they had a baby running a high fever and they couldn't jump in the car and go to the doctor. This name is the only name that men and women fell down on the street when they're homeless and broken and lost everything they've got and called on this precious name and got help. There's no other name like this name. Oh, I want to tell you, it's like that song, Jesus, Jesus. No other name like the precious name of Jesus. There's nothing like His name. I want to tell you this morning, thank God we have the right man. He was rich. He was rich, yet for our sake He became poor. How poor? Ask Mary. Ask the wise men. He slept in another's manger. He cruised the lake in another's boat. He rode in another's donkey. He was buried in another's tomb. He is the ever-perfect Lamb of God, the chiefest among 10,000. He is altogether lovely, the fairest among 10,000, the Lion of Judah, the Lamb of God. He is the door to heaven. He's the bread of life. He's the answer of life on life's troubled sea. Thank God He's everything. And He's all in all. His last will and testament, He left this purse to Judas, His body to Joseph of Arimathea. He left His mother to John, His clothes to the soldiers, His peace to His disciples, His supper to His followers, and He left Himself and His example, and He left the gospel to the world, and He left His presence with His children. Thank God, I'm glad we got Him this morning. I'm glad we got the right man. I remember back when Obama was running, and when he won, everybody just dancing in the street. But he's not the right man. I want to tell you, he's not even the right man for president, bless God, according to my opinion. But I'll tell you one thing, there ain't no man comes close to comparing to Jesus Christ. Will he ever be surpassed? Absolutely not. 1900 years have passed, and no one has even come close. This is not true of the world's other great men, as I mentioned a moment ago. Every generation produces somebody that they say is great. I remember years ago, y'all remember when the Beatles were popular? These kids don't even know who they are, probably. I remember John Lennon in the 60s. He said, we're more popular than Jesus Christ. Did you know John Lennon got shot down in New York? Shot down dead like a dog in the street? And people don't even know who he is, hardly. But you mention the name of Jesus, and everybody in this world knows exactly who you're talking about, whether atheists, non-believers, or even other religion. Thank God there's no other name like the name of Jesus. We have the right man. Amen. Santa Claus lives at the North Pole. Jesus lives everywhere. Amen. Amen. Santa Claus rides in a sleigh. Jesus rides on the wind and walks on water. Amen. Santa Claus comes once a year. Jesus ever present help in time of need. If Santa Claus comes down your chimney and get his fat rear end burnt up, but Jesus Christ is the flaming fire of judgment. Amen? I wish he would come now. My chimney needs cleaning. Our fireplace has been needing a good chimney. I wish he got... Anyway, Lord have mercy, preaching. Listen, Santa Claus, Santa Claus come down your chimney, but Jesus stand at your heart of your door and knock. Santa Claus fills your stockings with goodies. Jesus supplies all you need. Amen. Santa Claus lets you sit on his lap. Jesus holds you in his hands. Amen. Santa Claus has a belly like a bowl of jelly. Jesus has a heart of love. Santa Claus has little helpers that makes toys. Jesus makes new lives. Santa Claus puts gifts under a tree. Jesus became our gift and he died on a tree. I want to tell you what, Santa Claus ain't the right man. Jesus Christ is the man. If you want to have a right Christmas, you celebrate the right man, and that man is none other than the virgin-born Lamb of Almighty God. Amen. Now, if you're sitting here this morning and say, preach, I wish you would say that my kids believe in Santa Claus. Well, now you don't have to tell them. I did it for you. There's a benefit to having a mean preacher sometimes, bless God. Amen. Well, just hold on. The preacher will do it sooner or later. We have the right man. And secondly, I want to say the right Christmas means the right meaning. What's the meaning of Christmas? You know, some people think the meaning of Christmas is to get together and just get drunk and party and have a good time. But I'll tell you, there's a meaning for that child born in Bethlehem that night. He didn't come, as I said earlier, he didn't come just to be, just to set precedence for a holiday. He came to bring life into deadness. Did you know men were dead in their trespasses and sins? And you and I, according to the book of Ephesians, were one of those. And the Bible said we were dead and had no life in us. Jesus Christ came to bring life to this world. That's the message. That's the message those angels said on that night there in Bethlehem when they said good news of glad tidings and great joy. I would say that's what they were talking about. They said the gospel has come to you. And there's a Savior. The shepherds probably didn't really grasp what they were saying. But they were saying a Savior is born. He's come to save you from your sins. It's all about being saved. It's all about needing a Savior. He came to bring life into deadness. We were dead. Farmer one time cut a chicken's head off, showed his little boy how to do it. Chicken flopped around all over the ground. The little boy said, look, Daddy, that chicken's dead and don't even know it. That's about the way people are, ain't it? Dead, no, no, I was dead and didn't even know it. I was a walking dead man until Jesus came along. He said, you have to quicken who were dead in trespasses and sins. Ephesians 2:1. I want you to know, thank God, He brought life to deadness. Not only that, but He brought light to darkness. Amen. Like old drunk man one time was out on all fours crawling around in the dark. Oh, I mean under a street light. His buddy come on and said, what are you looking for, Sam? He said, I dropped my wallet. So he got on his knees and he's helping him. Two drops are better than one, I guess. Right. And he said, are you sure you dropped it over here? He said, no, I dropped it over yonder, but this is the only place that's got a light. Amen? Hey, one was drunk, none was stupid. But I'm here to tell you, thank God Jesus sheds light. He'll bring life to your life. I remember the night I got saved. I remember that like it was yesterday. I remember it felt like I was walking in a cave in darkness in my life. But that night I got saved, it seemed like somebody reached up and just pulled that cord and the light came on and it all made sense. It all started coming together. All them songs Mom had sung over the years, all them sermons Daddy preached, it started clicking. It's like I just came out of the darkness and saw the light. Jesus Christ came to bring light to this wicked and dark and ungodly world. It's dark out there, people. It's dark. The world's Jesus, the world's creator. He's the world's example, the world's teacher, the world's master, the world's savior, the world's Lord, the world's king, the world's light, the world's life, and the world's love. Thank God we needed a savior. Amen. If our greatest need had been information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need was not any of those things. Our greatest need was forgiveness. So God sent us a Savior. Thank God that's the meaning of Christmas, brother. We need a Savior. This world has been rocking and reeling in sin. But thank God 2,000 years ago, our Heavenly Father sent us a Savior. And that's the meaning of Christmas. And you'll have a right Christmas today if you get the right meaning. Amen, brother. The right man and the right meaning. I want to say thirdly, if you celebrate a right Christmas, you'll have the right message. What is the right message? Well, that's a message of hope and a message of help. That night them angels talked to them shepherds. They said, hope. Hope is here. There's hope now. Amen. Science has failed. Religion's failed. Secular humanism has failed. Atheism has failed. The age of reason, mythology, modern culture, politics, all these things have failed. Nothing can help the real problem with mankind, and that is a problem of sin. Did you know we're living in the most technological society we've ever lived in? You know, you walk around with your computer and your hand, put it in your pocket. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, you can pull something out and punch where you're going. It'll tell you where to go, where to turn, when to back up and turn around, everything else. I mean, they operate on you, send you straight home. I mean, used to be stay in the hospital a week. Now it's just going to get where you have to drive through surgery. Just drive through and get your appendix taken out and get a large order of fries while you're at it. But you know what modern society and technology have done for the human race, for the real problem of humanity? They've done nothing for it. The only thing technology does is made us a little bit more comfortable. And it's hurt us in a lot of ways. Amen. The right message is hope. Thank God for the hope. They said one time there was a missionary to China. He was out in California giving a talk, talking about going to China to the mission field. This smart aleck young guy got up and said, why should we send Christianity to China when China has Confucianism? Why do they need Christianity? And the man said this, he said, first of all, Confucius was a teacher and Christ is a Savior. China needs a Savior more than she needs a teacher. Amen? And the second place, Confucius is dead and Christ is alive. China needs a living Savior. I don't want to serve a dead Savior. I don't want Muhammad. He's dead. His body rotted and worms ate him. He's a corrupt God. Not the worms they made him. In the third place, Confucius is someday going to stand before Christ to be judged by him. China needs to know him as Savior before she meets him as judge. Amen. You need to meet the Lord Jesus this morning before you meet him. Amen. You're going to meet him one day. And you need to meet him at the foot of the cross before you meet him at the foot of his throne. I want to tell you the right message is a message of hope. Thank God you don't have to die lost and go to hell. You don't have to live a life of misery and uneasiness. And you don't have to live that life of uncertainty and worry and no peace whatsoever. Thank God there's hope, and that hope is in Jesus Christ. Amen. You say, preacher, you say your religion's the only one right. I'm saying Jesus is right. Religion hadn't helped us. Religion is man's way of trying to do something to reach up to God to gain approval. But salvation through Jesus Christ is God reaching down and doing for man what man can't do for himself. There's a big difference. And that's the hope that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have hope and we have help. There's not a situation he can't control this morning. There's not a difficulty he cannot contain. There's not a problem he cannot solve. It's a message. We have the right message. And it's a message of hope. And it's a message of help. Do you need help this morning? If you need help, thank God we have somebody to help you. I want to say not only if you're lost, but if you're saved this morning. Did you know Jesus is the only one you can go to who can really heal? You know, you've got all these other gods. You know those people pray to fall aside. I always thought it was weird. Even before I got saved, I thought this was weird. That somebody would sit down and take a knife or a hatchet or something and carve out something out of wood or gold, and then set up on a shelf and bet I'm praying to it. I just created you and I'm going to pray to you. I mean, that don't even make sense. I mean, that's the craziest thing in the world, but that's what men's been doing for thousands of years. But I want to tell you, you can bow down and pray, and you can kiss your rosary beads, and you can do all this, and you can take a wafer and some juice and all that stuff, and that will not help the real problem. You can go to church, that won't help you. Tithing won't help. And the real problem is a sin problem, and only Jesus Christ can help you with that. He's the only Savior that you can call on to hear you. Them other gods can't hear you. You get down to pray and you're burdened real heavy. Sometimes I get burdened and you ever prayed and it didn't feel like it got to the ceiling hardly? You ever feel that way? Most of the time it feels like that, don't it? But that don't mean He don't hear us. He hears us. When we do the things that please Him, the Bible said, He hears and answers our prayers. I want to tell you, God will help you. That's the message. We have a message of hope and of help, and He's always there to hear us when we have problems. I heard about in Persia one time, they said there was this king. He would dress up in beggar clothes and dress like a poor person and go visit people and try to get to know the common people and see how they were living. You know, just get to know the people. Amen. He wouldn't know about their hardships. He was a good man. Sometimes there were good kings back in those days. Sometimes they're evil kings. One time he visited this real poor man and lived in a cellar. And he ate the food the man had, which wasn't much. And he visited him later and he identified himself and said, "I'm your king." And the man told him, he asked the man, "Would you like some kind of gift?" He said, I want to help you. And the man said, "No, I don't want." He said, "I'm the king. I own the whole kingdom." He said, "I don't want anything else." He said, "You came here and you lived with me and you ate my food and you was my friend." He said, "You gave me something better than a gift. You gave me yourself." He said, "That's all I want." And I said, "Thank God that's the way it is with Jesus Christ. We don't have a Savior, the Bible said, that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was at all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." You can go to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, "Lord, I'm discouraged. Lord, I feel like my friends are forsaking me. It seems like I'm going in circles. I can't get nothing done." And He says, "I know how you feel. I'm going to help you." And brother, I'll tell you, He is a Savior. He is the right message for this time of year. You need to let people know there's help for them, and there's help, and there's hope. Heard this little story years ago. This little boy, I believe it was on the streets of Chicago. Back in the old days, kids just lived on the street. And, you know, if they got turned into an orphanage, they lived there. Some of them didn't. Some just lived on the street. And some of them just fend for themselves. This little boy's a little orphan. He's about 10 or 11 years old. And he sold newspapers. And he just slept wherever he could and got a bite here and there. Anyway, he went to this mission. This preacher saw him one day and he said, "Son, won't you come into church and let me feed you and take care of you for a while?" He said, No. He said, I'm comfortable out here. I want to be by myself. I've been mistreated all my life." He said, I want to fend for myself. I want to provide for myself." And he said, "Son, I tell you what you do. If you'll do me a favor and take your newspapers and go down this certain street and go to this certain house," he described where it was at. He said, "If you'll knock on that door," he said, "there's somebody there that will do something really nice for you." And then the little boy said, "Okay," he said, "I might do that." And he got the address and the house and he went down there. He said, "But now, son, when you go and you knock on the door and they answer the door," he said, "what you got to do is you got to say John 3:16. The little boy thought, "Well, John 3:16, he didn't ever heard it before, didn't know what it was. He said, "That might be somebody's name, but it sounds funny." And so he went down that street and found that house. It's a big, pretty house. And he knocked on the door. It was a cold day. And he stood out his newspaper sack. And he knocked on the door. And this lady come to the door. And he said, John 3:16. And the lady said, "Well, come on in, son." And she said, "Come on in the house a little bit." And she said, "Son, have you had anything to eat?" He said, "Ma'am, I hadn't had really a hot meal in a few days. Actually, about a week or so." And she said, "Well," she said, "I'll tell you what, you go sit down in there." And she said, "I'll fix you a bite. Go sit in there by the fireplace, and I'm going to go fix you something to eat." So he went in there, and he sat by that warm fire, man, that blazing fire in that fireplace. He thought to himself, John 3:16. He said, "I don't know what it means, but it sure does warm up a little boy's feet and hands." Amen. And he sat there and warmed his feet in a few minutes, his hands, a little old dirty boy. And she said, "Come on, son, I got you something to eat." And she brought him in there and set him down the biggest old, looked like his other sister Brenda's house. Cathead biscuits and chicken and ham and all the taters and peas and all that stuff. And he sat down there and she said, "Now you go ahead and eat." She said, if you want me to, I'll go run you a bath." He said, "Yeah, that'd be fine." And she went to run his bath, and while he's sitting there eating, boy, he's just eating up a storm. He is eating away, and he said, John 3:16. "I don't really know what it means, but it sure feeds a hungry boy's belly." Amen. And he sat there and ate him a bite. She come and got him and took him to the bathroom. She said, "You can get in that tub and stay long as you want to." And he got in that bathtub, and brother, it was all filled up just about to the top with bubbles and hot water. And he had a hot bath, and I don't know how long. And he was sitting there, and he sat there, and he got shriveled up like a prune. And he's sitting there looking up the ceiling. He said, John 3:16. "I don't know what it means, but it sure cleans a dirty boy up real good." Amen. I'm trying to get you to see the message this morning. And he got out of the tub, went back in there, and she said, "Son, why don't you just sleep in my bed tonight, and you sleep over here in this room, and in the morning I'll feed you breakfast before you leave." He said, "Okay," and he went and got in the bed. She tucked him in and prayed for him. He's laying there. She put the candle out, and he said, "John 3:16, I don't know what it means, but it sure gives a weary boy rest." Amen. Next morning, he got up and got his paper sack and his clothes, got dressed, and he started leaving. And he got ready to leave. She said, "Son, can I ask you a question before you leave? Do you know what John 3:16? He said, "Ma'am, I don't. I've been wondering about that all night." He said, "What does that mean?" And she began to quote it to him. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." And she said, "Son, wouldn't you like to know this Jesus that I've been telling you about?" He said, "I sure would." And the little boy got saved right there in her parlor, in her living room, and he left there and he thought, John 3:16. He said, "I don't know what it means exactly, but it sure cleans a little boy's heart. It sure saves a young man." I want to tell you, that's the message today. That's the right message. It ain't about Santa Claus and reindeer and candy canes and all that stuff. Thank God it's about Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, that came to this wicked, dark, ungodly, sin-cursed world and died for mankind. That's the right message. Amen. If you don't watch cartoons and Charlie Brown and the Grinch Stole Christmas, that's all right. We watch them too. But I'm just saying, that's not the message. Amen. I ain't gonna follow after you if I drive by your house and see Santa Claus up on top of your house. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying this. This is the right message. That's what Christmas is about. Amen. Jesus was content with a stable when He was born so that we could have a mansion when we die. Thank God, what a message. There ain't never been a message like that. Them Muslims I was talking about earlier, they go in and they kill themselves and kill other people, and they hope and pray they get to heaven, that they're going to inherit all this stuff. But listen, we don't have to hope and wonder and worry. We already have it. We have God's greatest gift. God gave the first Christmas present that morning when Mary reached down and wrapped God's gift in swaddling clothes and laid Him in a manger. Thank God, I'm glad we have the right message, and we'll celebrate a right Christmas. The right man, the right meaning, the right message. And fourthly, we need to have the right motive. Amen? The right motive at Christmas time is to love the person of Christmas. Amen? Now, I know people celebrate Christmas that's not saved. They're just getting another day off with pay. And they just get to party a little bit and spend time with their family. But people that saved really know what Christmas is. And we really get excited about it because it's that one time of year, and that's why the atheists don't like it and the non-believers, because it is to commemorate. Now, we know Jesus wasn't born on December 25th, but it's a day set aside to commemorate that He was born, that He came into this world to bleed and die for sinners. Amen. Our right motive is to love the person of Christmas and to live the purpose of Christmas. Live it out every day. We were talking about it in Sunday school. What to live it. You know what I think about? And listen, I'm not saying anything against these things. You know how people get real generous at Christmas time and they feed the poor and feed the needy and do all that. And they'll do something out of their way and they'll say, "Well, it's Christmas time." But in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, what about the other 11 months out of the year? What about them other 11 months that person on the street ain't got nothing to eat? What about January through November? Them people that's hungry and need clothes, and those little kids that need somebody to love them and to help them, and those people in jail or in prison that need somebody to send them something. I want to tell you, brother, that is living out the purpose of Christmas. I'm dreaming of a right Christmas. I wouldn't mind a white Christmas, but I'd rather have a right Christmas. Love the person of Christmas, live the purpose of Christmas, and our motive is to learn the power of Christmas. The power of it is, it'll change your life. If you get to know this person I've been preaching about, it'll change your life. It'll do something for you that nobody else can do. I want you to join me this morning in celebrating the right Christmas. Now, I know the way we celebrate Christmas around here in our church and our people here, I know that. But I'm just saying, let's really make it about the Lord. Amen? You think about the gifts. We all give gifts and nothing wrong with it. I like giving them and I like getting them. But what are we giving the Lord? What are we giving the Lord? I mean, we should give Him our time and our talent. Amen? We should really give to the Lord this year, this time of year. What a reflect back over the year and say, what kind of year have I had? What have I done this year that's made a difference in somebody's life? How have I lived out this Christmas message to the world? Lots of people think about Christmas because of me. Let's live it. Let's don't just talk it. Let's live it. So people know it is real. You know, I believe some people's kids don't do right and they get out of church and don't come back because mom and daddy goes to church and live one way and live another way at home, and the kids think, well, it ain't real. It's just a put on. It's just like Hollywood. It's acting. It's not real. But when you live the same at home or at work as you do at church, your kids are going to see it's real and they're going to say, hey, it's genuine. Let's live it out this year. We got another year coming around, 2010. Y'all remember Y2K? Everybody thought the whole world was coming to an end almost. Here we are, 9 years have done come and gone. Can you believe that? Hard to believe, ain't it? We're coming up on 2010. By the way, if y'all been hearing on the news, been reading books and hearing about this 2012 thing, I ain't going to preach on that. Well, I might later, but even scientists believe the world's going to come to the end in the next few years. About all of them agree something catastrophic is going to happen. That's kind of weird, ain't it? And they're basing it on all kind of different factors. But here's the way I look at it. Even if they were right, I base what I believe on the Bible, but even if they were right, that means me and you're just getting ready to take a ride. We're getting ready to take a ride out of here. So when you look around and see the world's getting worse and worse, it's such a mess, and sin is just... I was reading the other day, when I was preparing for last week's sermon, I read a statistic that said, I believe it's 80% of the hits on the internet are for pornography. 80% of every website, of every click of a mouse, is for pornography. That shows you the minds of society. It said that, I think it was 6 out of 10 kids ages 10 to 16 have looked at pornography. That ought not to be, people. Preacher, what he said, what does that mean? That means we're getting toward the end. But we need to keep this message just as fresh and real as we possibly can. Because the world is dark around us. We need to keep the light on. Jesus, what did he say? Let your light so shine. Amen. The people that can see in the dark ones got the light, right? That's why Christian people are holding the light up. Let people see. And let's promote this message of Christmas in this wicked world. Let's all stand, heads bowed.